you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What are your thoughts on our guy John Heyman tweeting out that Garrett Crochet's plan with the White Sox is to pitch a normal workload as a starter until the end of the regular season? But if he's traded, he would need a contract extension to pitch in October. Crochet won't pitch out of the bullpen. He believes a starter routine is best for his health. How does that information impact his trade value?
Well, I think it definitely impacts his trade value. I think you're not getting a controllable contract, a guy that's – you're getting a guy that wants an extension if you want him to play in October. So if you're gonna go out and get him, you're going to have to pay him. And that changes everything. So maybe that impacts whether they can trade him or not. I don't know. But I was very surprised to read this because I think it's the first time we've heard – I mean, I don't blame him for wanting a contract and wanting to get paid, but I think that's the first time we've heard that it would be sort of it would be a necessity. So if you're picking up a young controllable pitcher, guess what? He's not that. He's a young pitcher that you're going to have to pay in order to control him. Good for him and his representatives to take advantage of that. I think there's nothing wrong with taking control of your own career. So I got no problem with him deciding to do this. But, you know, as we had talked about him, we had mentioned that, you know, we didn't know what kind of innings limit he was on or how that would work out. But imagine, you know, that arm, left-handed power arm coming out of the bullpen, you could make a case for taking him, trading for him for just that reason. And then being able to use that to use him as a starter moving forward. He could help you out of the bullpen. Initially, through October, maybe you win something and then you got him as a starter next year. So I think all that's off the table. It definitely damages his trade value. And here's hoping the Sox don't trade him now.
Right. I think that's just it, right? Here's hoping the Sox don't trade him, I guess. I mean, he could be a cornerstone if and when the Sox decide to be all in. I agree with you. I can't blame Garrett Crochet and his group for trying to take advantage. You know, when he sees the day, sees the situation. But did we ever hear numbers? The White Sox did try to extend him, correct? That was a report. Marshall's laughing, right? Wasn't there?
I don't think the Sox have ever attempted to spend money.
I'm with Molly on that.
I thought there was a report that the Sox during the season had talks about extending. Now the question is, you know, how much and how long did they offer? It was supposedly rebuffed. They didn't engage.
That was like white noise, is what that was.
Okay.
I'm just saying there was a report. You're right, that said they approached him about an extension. It didn't say that they talked about it. They took his temperature. It was just before they launched him, they were going to have you believe that.
Okay.
I thought that was utter and complete garbage.
Right. Now, I wonder if he is given the contract that he would want, the extension that he would want, would he then be willing to be a bullpen guy in the postseason? Or is he serious about starter only? I don't like that.
I
think you should just do what the team wants you to do, assuming you're getting paid what you wanted to get paid.
Okay, so let's go through these the series of questions. My thoughts about him wanting to pitch the normal workload as a starter until the end of the regular season, absolutely. Garrett Crochet knows that he's a couple of years away from free agency. He knows that he's doing the thing because of not just his success in terms of ERA and strikeouts, but he looks like that guy, a power pitcher who is the number one trade target right now available. Obviously, he's been available for a while because he's on the White Sox. If he's traded, he says he needs a contract extension. This is a smart power play by his group, his agents. Says he won't pitch out of the bullpen. He's now to be fair, I was watching an interview he did back in spring training. And he said that I need the starter's routine. It's the best for my health. This isn't like something new. This isn't some Johnny come lately stuff. I think, though, if he did sign a big deal, he would do whatever is told, because at that point, now you've got the money. The whole reason he doesn't want to do that is because of his health.
Right.
You've got the money. You could do whatever you want with me because I'm getting my paycheck, my payday. But there's talk that him getting extension 2 years out from free agency, he could earn up to $100 million. And, guys, I don't think that changes if he's trading the offseason. I think he's still going to get a very rich extension.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
There he is, Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. We expressed our opinions yesterday about whether Caleb Williams should play next week in the Hall of Fame preseason game against the Texans. Does it influence you reading our guy, Biggsy, and you just heard him there, right, that the last first-round QB to start in that game was Teddy Bridgewater back in 2015? If teams aren't going to do it, why should the Bears?
Yeah, unfortunately, it does influence my opinion because the way that they did Justin Fields even and kind of minimized the importance of the preseason schedule, which, hey, they've got four games instead of three like most teams. It's hard for me to see them do it. Do I want him to play? Of course I want him to play. I'm like everybody else. I want to see what this guy has against real competition, but looking back at the history of Matt Eberflus since he's gotten here, looking at the history of rookie quarterbacks in this game, I think it's probably unlikely. He'd come out, play a series or two, but I just don't believe it will happen, unfortunately. And, you know, that's their prerogative. You know, fans want what the fans want, but the Bears are going to do what the Bears are going to do.
Hard Knocks will get Caleb Williams on that field a week from yesterday. We're going to have, if I remember right, Mully, you were probably at the game. We were all working together at the time for sure. When Mitch Trubisky was drafted by the Bears, it wasn't the Hall. Now, again, remember, part of
this is the Hall of Fame.
This is the Hall of Fame game.
Because that's the first of all the preseason.
Of all the games. Yes. So this isn't necessarily how every team has handled a freshly drafted quarterback in round one in their first preseason game. I think you also have to look at that if you're looking for a roadmap. But I remember Mitch Trubisky specifically, if I remember, he handed the ball off three times. It was a three and out. He handed the ball off three times. And, you know, this Bears fan was ticked off, right? That's all we got. You wanted it. You wanted more. If I remember right, that's what it was. And we went on and on about this back then. I just think we talked about it yesterday. I think it's important to go through the whole pregame thing in your pads, like all of it, how you warm up. You know, if you're where are you? You know, are you leading the warm ups? You know, are you? I think it all matters. Three plays. I don't care if he puts the ball in the air. I think it'd be a mistake to not see him at all.
I have been to hundreds of football games, preseason, regular season, years and years and years, and I've been to thousands of sporting events over the course of my lifetime. And I am not Les Grobstein, and I don't remember individual games like that. I just don't. If someone starts talking about a game, maybe I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But I have been to games, written about games, taken storylines to, you know, talk to people afterward, and I couldn't tell you what happened in the game or how. It just my mind doesn't work that way. I just don't remember events like that. So I can't help you on that one, Dustin. And I was there. I remember we were talking about it, but I don't remember what the hell happened, sadly. But as far as the answer to this question is concerned, it means a hill of beans if Caleb Williams plays in this game. If their left tackle cannot practice with pads on, and then that means he's not going to play come the season opener. I mean, listen. Is Will Smith Jr. not playing? You're going to guarantee me that Danielle Hunter is not playing, because the last thing you want, they've got a couple of stud defensive ends. Can we agree that everybody's going to stay out of the game and no one's going to play hard because our quarterback's going to be out there? When the offensive line is compromised, if this kid is to play in the preseason, everybody's got to be playing with him. He's only playing against the first team in practice. They want him going against the first defense. If that's the case, then you have to have the first team offense around him to play. Do you want all those guys playing in a Hall of Fame game at a high school stadium in Canton, Ohio? I don't. So I just don't care about this game even remotely. And I understand the idea of a dress rehearsal, but the fact that other teams aren't doing it, I think it gives you permission.
That's a wonderful question. I will take some time with it.
Steve Stone, 9 o'clock, talking White Sox with you guys. Are you pleased for Dylan Cease that he produced just the second no-hitter of his this season with a 3-0 victory over the Nationals yesterday out in D.C.? Do you feel any jealousy since he was once with both? Remember, both Chicago teams. How about the play where the ball bounced out of Bogaert's glove only to be caught by Jackson Merrill?
I if you went back and watched that play, man, I mean, that was so super cool. And in order to get that sort of a thing happen for you, need plays like that. You know, the Burley, we just had the 15-year anniversary of the perfect game. You needed that catch. You know, you need certain things to happen to have those moments of history, and certainly the Xander Bogaerts. He's backing up. He's going for the ball. He catches it. And it's like he got it, and it bounces right out of his glove and right into the other guy's glove. It was unbelievable. And it was in the air for, like, an extended period of time. It was almost like they threw the ball to each other. It was just super cool. I'm really happy for Dylan Cease. I have a lot of time for Dylan Cease. He was a great young pitcher, a great player to watch. I'm glad that he's doing as well as he is. Tinge, just a hint, maybe, of jealousy. It's part of me, like, why couldn't that guy be here? It's kind of like watching, you know, Chris Sale do well. Yeah, you know, Chris Sale's got a World Series trophy. Yeah, that's a pity. You knew he was good when he was here, but they couldn't build a team around him. Kind of the same feeling with Dylan Cease. But yeah, like a tinge, just a little hint of Chicago bitterness.
Yeah, Chicago bitterness, I think, definitely is a good way to put it, Mully. And that's why I emphasized, you know, in the question, both. A lot of people forget that he was a Cub. But he was also like kind of like the throw-in. And that was something where the White Sox actually got it right. Like, I think they demanded that he be part of it. Like, they wanted Eloy.
It was Quintana, but they got Eloy in him.
Right, right, but they Dylan Cease was like the sweetener that pushed it over the top for that deal to happen. Sure. You know, I just think it's interesting. The Padres had to, like, they thought about taking him out. Like, it's so different.
It doesn't
baseball's
happen
just
anymore.
So, yeah, baseball's
we talked
just
about
so different.
This
right.
When the first
Skeens,
one.
Yeah. Right? And then whether you leave a guy in or take a guy out. Yeah. Now Skeens has finally pitched into the eighth inning for the first time and then lost.
Taking losses.
Yeah, and then took a loss for the first time since college. But sure, you know, why not? Why not be happy for Dylan Cease? He didn't leave in a bad way. He left because, like we talked about earlier, the White Sox were never going to pay him.
Yeah. That's the sad reality of the situation. If you're a White Sox fan, you understand why Dylan Cease is in another uniform. And, you know, they've got some good parts back for him.
Yeah.
Good assets. Some guys who have already shown some serious promise at the major league level. Of course, I'm pleased for Dylan Cease. He didn't control where he played. He didn't control whether he got traded or not. He's out here pitching. It's good to see him living up to the billing. You know, as a guy who finished second in the Cy Young voting just a couple of years ago in the American League. And now, if he continues pitching like this, he's going to be talked about in the same type of play that he's provided for the Padres in the National League Cy Young award race. But he has looked dominant over his last three starts. Right. Two hits allowed over three starts.
22 innings, three hits. Right,
and
something like that.
Striking out everybody.
No runs.
Yeah, so he looks like the guy that the White Sox hoped would lead their staff for years and years to come, but we knew that was limited because of the fact that they're not going to pay anybody when those free agent years hit. As far as jealousy, nah, because I know what it is. I know what it is. As a lifelong White Sox fan, I have accepted this is how things work for my ball club. This is standard operating procedure. And the play where the ball bounced out of Bogart's glove into Jackson Merrill. If you go back and look even at the instant replay, it looks like something out of a movie.
It does.
So
you're right.
I enjoyed every aspect of it, and I'm happy for him. And you know what? Maybe some of these guys that he got, maybe somebody could throw a no-hitter in White Sox uniform someday.
A twin.
Oh, see? Inform and entertain.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Go ahead and ask your question, because I'm not going to address this every single day.
Do you consider White Sox general manager Chris Getz quotes to Darryl Van Schouwen of the Sun-Times yesterday regarding Pedro Grifol and his staff to be ominous or simple a statement of fact? Grifol praised the group's work ethic, but added, quote, there's parts of the team to feel good about and parts we don't feel good about, and we certainly need to see progress in all of these areas. I know they're staying at it. They're focused, but we can certainly need to start seeing progress as the season comes to an end in the next couple of months, end quote. Do you believe Pedro can save his job?
Pedro Grifol is, I think the proverbial term is dead man walking. He can't save his job. It's too far gone. They literally might, I can't believe I'm saying this, they literally might set the record for most losses in a Major League Baseball season. When we talked last, as you guys mentioned, last week in the All-Star break, they had a 276 winning percentage. Since then, they've lost every game. They now have a 257 winning percentage. 250 is the all-time lowest mark. So they're heading that direction. And that's with some strong pitching, by the way. But it hasn't mattered because the offense is, well, deplorable. 11 runs over 7 games since the All-Star break ended. Yeah, he can't. I can't see a way he can save his job because the team is not good and they're not going to improve enough. And he honestly doesn't have the talent to be able to win games. So, yeah, Pedro Grifol is dead man walking. I think it is ominous. Anything that's said about Pedro Grifol at this moment, we're talking about a guy that we know is going to be unemployed at the end of the season.
Shoot, Marshall, the Cubs would love to have 11 runs since the All-Star break. They might have won.
Well, they would have over six games, though.
They might have won a series or two.
Or two.
Had they scored 11 runs in those six games in total. Again, we talked about, was it yesterday, Mully, or was it Wednesday that we talked about the future of that job and some names that might be available, and one of the names is already off the board, right?
Alex Cora.
He's been re-signed by the Red Sox. Maybe we helped Alex Cora get new paper. Maybe that pushed it over the top. Well, the Mully and Haw show are, you know, referencing him to go to the White Sox. We better get things done for him. Can he save his job? But okay, we talked to start the show out this morning about the value of the manager, right? Like, Is it his fault that they're on pace to lose over 100 games? Or is it Chris Getz's fault? Or is it actually Kenny's fault and Jerry's fault that they're
there's enough blame to go around.
Whose fault is it? Pedro's not hitting. Pedro's not pitching. Pedro's not the trainer to keep these guys healthy. So they have to do something, though, to give White Sox fans hope for 25. But if you're a White Sox, go and embrace it. Embrace being the worst ever. I would actually root to be the worst ever because that's going to make change happen faster. You can't be the worst ever and not have change. Embrace being the all-time worst team in the history of baseball.
Pedro Grifol's record as a manager. 88-179. 88-179. The White Sox are the only team that would have hired this guy, and the White Sox are the only team that would have kept this guy. 88-179. And this can't be correct, but the rumors are that he's reportedly paid $5.5 million a year. That cannot be correct. He made like $375 last year, and they claim that his salary has kicked up. That just can't be right. So I guess what I'm saying is, just given the reported salary, even if it's $375, you cannot feel bad for the fact that he is, as you say, dead man walking. This guy was about is. He's doomed. I mean, his managerial career is doomed. I'd be very curious to see if he gets another bench coaching job, quite frankly, because this is about as bad as you can be. And I think if we did a survey and we talked about worst managers in Sox history, he'd be in that photo. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find many worse than that. 88-179. You know, I don't believe there are many managers ever that have lost 179 games without winning 100. But there he stands, and he's definitely gone at the end of the year.
Final destination.
That's the movie series.
How do you feel about Keenan Allen being ranked 51st in the NFL top 100 list? Will he lead the Bears in receptions this year? If not him, then who?
My God, they ranked him Butkus. I mean, that's unbelievable to be 51 on a list of the top 100 players, and you play for the Bears now. It's like huge. That's fantastic. I still think, and maybe I'm just stubborn about it, but I still believe that our guy will be the number one receiver for the Chicago Bears. But this just rattles home how good Keenan Allen has been in his career and how good he was last year. The Bears are blessed to have him, and I think that he's going to be, if you watch him play, Keenan Allen is open even as we speak, and Keenan Allen will break a tackle once he gets the ball. So he's a third down machine, and he's a guy that can get extra yardage after he gets the ball. But I think DJ Moore is going to be their leading receiver. It'll be fascinating to watch. I just hope they can get the ball to everybody.
Well, that's what's interesting is, can they get the ball to everybody? Who will become kind of the safety net, if you will, for Caleb Williams? And if you weren't going to, because of how good we're all hoping these wide receivers to be, maybe from a number of receptions, maybe it is Cole Kmet, just because when you're looking to throw to the wide receivers, it's going to get spread out more often. I think Kmet will be the tight end who catches the most passes.
Could be Gerald Everett.
Could be, but probably could be. Listen, anything is possible, right? I think we should just all enjoy the fact that the balls are actually going to be a modern offense for the first time in who knows how long, or at least attempt to be a modern offense for the first time in who knows how long. Just going backward really quick, if I could. So the first Mitch Trubisky game was 8-10 of 2017 at Soldier Field against the Broncos. Mike Glennon actually started the game. Trubisky, 18 of 25, 166 yards and a tutty. His first preseason game.
Oh, preseason.
First preseason. Just going back to that question about Caleb Williams, I thought that was interesting.
Feel great about Keenan Allen being ranked 51st in the NFL top 100. That sounds about right. There's a lot of good players. I'm not sure how many receivers are above him on that list. I do know that he did work last year. Another 1,000-yard season, another 100-catch season. DJ Moore had 96 catches last year. It will be interesting. I'm kind of, this is a complete like guessing game, right? Because you don't know how much they're going to throw the ball with a rookie quarterback back there, how much it's going to be spread around, because you've got, like you mentioned, Gerald Everett along with Cole Kmet and of course Rome Odunze, and it seems like that's a lot of targets. So is anyone even going to get 100 catches in this offense next season? But I'm going to say that DJ Moore is going to lead them in receptions. I just am. I think DJ Moore is the guy. I'm not saying Keenan Allen's not the guy. I think you have a 1 and a 1A situation.
Yeah.
And then Rome Odunze, depending on how much he's on the field, if they're going to go two tight ends more often than what we think, like a lot of questions to be answered. I like Cole Kmet as a safety valve, sort of. And you know, even out of the backfield, there could be a lot of passes thrown. So you add that up. I'm going to go DJ Moore, but I won't be surprised at all if Keenan Allen leads this team in receptions.
You know, Keenan Allen is also the only one of these guys in a contract year. So if he wants to get paid, he's going to need to put up some numbers. It's just going to be interesting if that dynamic comes into play in any way.
Well, that's a good question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer, a good guy all around. He'll be here at 8 talking Cubs. What did you make of Mallory Swanson scoring back-to-back goals in the 24th and 25th minute to help lift USA Women's Soccer to a 3-0 victory in their first game of the group stage at the Olympics? Is Mallory the best player in her sport, in her own household? Is she better soccer player than her husband Dansby is a baseball player?
There's no question. She's... She's done before she got hurt and missed, you know, a year. She was already doing these types of things for right. The national team on the world stage. And like the Chicago Red Stars are fortunate to have her and now keep her as her husband, Dansby Swanson. You know, they've only been married since 22, but, you know, listen, she is unbelievable. If you've watched her play, whether it's for the Red Stars or whether it's for the national team, she's always been super dynamic. So, yeah, she's a better player at her sport than the guy that's batting 217. Obviously, it's an off year for him. And obviously, he's got gold gloves.
Is it?
Listen, it's... Well, yeah, he's a lifetime 250 hitter. So, 217 is... That's more than just a bad year. It's a 634 OPS. That's the worst in his career. He's only been under 700 in OPS one time. I think that was 699. So... Bottom line is, if you watch soccer, even if you're a casual watching soccer, Mallory Swanson, even when she's not scoring, is doing dynamic things with a soccer ball. She is one of the best in the world at what she does.
For the Twitchers, Mallory Swanson greater than Dansby Swanson at professional sports. Yes. Also, if you just tuning in for the pick six, we had a great texter who suggested that maybe Swanson should take some time off and go watch his wife play in the Olympics. I love that idea,
yeah,
by the way. Love that idea. And also for that, we were talking about Olympic coverage. It starts live 11 a.m. today on NBC5. They're going to preview flotilla? The opening ceremony. They're going to carry the opening ceremonies live. Then they'll do a recap at 9 o'clock tonight. So if you're planning your DVR, like we were talking about, live at 12:30. NBC5 will be the opening ceremonies. A recap of the opening ceremonies, 9 o'clock tonight. So if you haven't left for work, or if you can control it with your phone or some kind of app,
or if you're home from work,
or if you're working from home and it's a Friday, yeah. So just a programming note: inform, right? We talk inform and entertain. So information, 11 a.m. NBC5 Chicago, a preview of the opening ceremony.
LeBron and Coco coughing them.
I feel like this is mean spirited, even asking the question if she's better at her sport than he is.
Why is it?
Because he's having a bad season, and Dustin is so amused by it, like, make him go see her, make him go support her. She doesn't need his help to be great at what she's doing.
No.
Simone Biles doesn't need Jonathan Nolan's help.
But maybe some of her greatness would rub off on him when he got back.
Yeah, see.
Like, does Simone Biles need Jonathan Nolan's help?
I feel like he's not at full strength. I think he's better than he's been. I think that he plays in a significantly more lucrative sport than she does. So, obviously, he's a very successful all-star level player, but he's not the best shortstop in baseball, and she's one of the best forwards in women's soccer. So I think that the very fact that, and again, it's the size of the sports, all that stuff you have to take into account. I think we can call her a phenomenal athlete and a great player without having to insult him to get there. I think that if you're a professional scout in any sport, if they ever have kids, sign them up. I think that the two of them together, that's an incredible powerhouse. You got eye-hand coordination, eye-foot coordination. She's a great runner. I mean, they've just got a lot of things going for them. I think this should be more celebratory of what she was able to do than sort of derisive of him. So that's why I hesitate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.